Thank you so much, Christian. What a blessing. 1 Peter chapter number 4, please. 1 Peter chapter number 4. The conclusion of the service, we have a number of things to do to kind of prep for tonight. If you could help us quickly, that'd be great. One of those is we'll collect the hymn books. And so anyway, we'll move some chairs around and things like that. I'd like for us to read this together this morning. It's a very simple text of Scripture. Simple in reading. It's not simple when it comes to actually living it out. And we'll say the reference together, and then we'll read the verse. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Together? "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Wow. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. One author says the believers to whom Peter was writing were in a world that hated them. All around, hate was there. Toward each other, there must be love. Intense love. Love that goes out of its way to be thoughtful, kind, and forgiving. Being gentle with the feelings of others. They lived in a caustic, hateful world. Sounds like a headline from today, doesn't it? Really, it does. I want us to look at this text this morning very simply and see that in a world that is growing more and more hostile to Christians, we must love each other. We must love each other. We're going to see the priority of love above all things. We're going to see the possession of love, the word have. Have. The passion of love, fervent love. The people of love among yourselves. And lastly, we'll see the protection of love. It covers a multitude of sins. Father, as we look at this text this morning, it's a powerful text. And you have stuff for us here. We pray that you would help us to be clear, be fair to the text, be applicable to our lives this morning. We sure love you, and we're grateful that you love us. In your name we pray. Amen. First, we'll see the priority of love, and above all things. This word "above" actually can mean the word "before." Matter of fact, it's translated 44 times before. In other words, it's given us the idea that this is a priority. Paul makes kind of that argument in 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't he? He's like, you have all these spiritual gifts and all this kind of stuff, but can I tell you something? There's a better way to do this. And you can have this. You can sacrifice your body to be burned. And if you have not charity, you're what? Nothing. You can be a great expositor, if you will. You can expound on all mysteries, but if you have love, you're nothing. You can talk about love, but you could just be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, no matter what you do. Love is a priority. As a matter of fact, he concludes that chapter with these words in verse 13. "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Isn't that amazing? I mean, we would think that hope would be pretty important. I mean, without hope, we're all men most miserable, right? I mean, we would think that would... Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's not what the Holy Spirit of God says. He says, and above these three are great, but above them is charity. One author says, love is the comprehensive virtue that should complete and crown all other activity. It ought to be treated as the priority in Christian living. If we were writing a text today, we could say something like this. Though you sacrifice greatly and don't get supper during the week to serve in VBS, if you have not love, you're nothing. That's an appropriate application of this text of Scripture. That's what he's saying. In other words, we're to love others. Matter of fact, our Lord really boiled down the entire law to two things, didn't he? Love God, love others. That's not what we think. That's not a cute saying that we put together. Jesus said that. He says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Those are God's words. Jesus spoke these. He said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. In the larger context, and we'll get to this, Lord willing, next week, Peter is introducing the topic of spiritual gifts. Last week we talked a little about the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The truth is, you can't properly pray without loving people. You can't properly be hospitable without loving people, which is what we'll look at next week. He says in verse 10, every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But you can't steward that gift without proper love. So the priority of love. And by the way, I could spend a lot longer reading texts of Scripture that show this as a priority. How is your measuring, quote unquote, of love this morning? Do you love people before you snap at them? Do you love people before you judge them? Do you love people or do you assume about them? Those are convicting questions. This morning, having my devotions, I went over the message again. And a couple of these questions, the Holy Spirit said, I got it. We're guilty of this sometimes. The truth is, some of us are more concerned about being right than we are about loving. You better be careful. Jesus made this a priority. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. The priority of love. But number two, we see the possession of love. Have fervent charity. Have. Interesting word. It carries four definitions. I want you to follow me here, okay? The first is the idea of to have hold of, or in the sense of wearing. That would be the garment of love, if you will. Matter of fact, the idea of put on love, the idea of put on in Scripture is to put on as a garment, to put it on. So when he says to have charity, it's in the sense of wearing it. It's a garment, if you will. Do you wear love? Is that what people know you as? The second idea of this word have is to possess, as in to own it. Now, I've said that's to gather love. When you possess something, when you own something, you either work to possess it, or you purchase it for somewhere, or maybe you worked in the yard and you planted a garden and you own those whatever, squash or beans or whatever you have, to gather love. The third idea is to be in such a condition, have. That is the goal of love, I believe. In other words, I want to be in the condition that I love people. And we're not always there. If people were to say, if I looked at your communication over the last 2 weeks, would I primarily get the sense that you love people? The fourth area is to lay hold of a thing, or as in cling to it. I've said that's the guarding of love. In other words, I grasp it as if it is desperately that I must have it. Imagine, if you will, for a few minutes, that someone announced today that all the water in the world was all of a sudden contaminated. Now, I realize that's a little bit crazy, but Egypt experienced that one time, but that was God-induced, right? But let's say that all the water in the world was contaminated. How valuable do you think that would be right now? Let's say if the faucet back there was contaminated and your faucet at home was contaminated, and let's assume for a moment that you didn't have one of these. Do you think whoever had them would cling to it? That's the idea of have. Do you cling to love? I mean, is it a prized possession or not? The possession of love, he says, above all things, have fervent charity. Do you have love? Do you have love? Do you wear it as a garment? Do you gather it together? Is it your goal to love people? Do you guard it as if with your life? The priority of love, above all things. The possession of love, have the passion of love. Fervent charity. This word fervent means an intent, or earnestly, if you will. It's in constant application and effort. Matter of fact, one author said it's exerting one's power to its full extent. The picture is someone being strained to the max. Being strained to the max. You ever been strained to the max? I mean, where it took everything you've got. Have you ever watched a runner trying to get to that finish line and that everything in them is busting across the line? It's amazing. Now, I'm not a gambler, so don't get excited here. But I have been intrigued to watch Justify, who won the Triple Crown yesterday. Do you know what's interesting about that horse that I've observed? He didn't look like he's running. I mean, he's obviously running. But you can see, I watched the replay last night because we were here. I watched the replay, and you watch the horses behind him. You can see their necks. I mean, they're like straining as they're galloping, and he's just like, on a Sunday afternoon ride. I mean, he's not dirty just because he leads every race he's in. Hello? I mean, it's like amazing. Huge chest muscles if you've seen the running at all. In the Kentucky Derby, it was like, oh, are you boys running a race, or are we just taking a little gallop today? I mean, that's what it looked like. Now, he may be exhausted, but he sure doesn't look like it, right? That's not the idea. The idea is the horse is trying to catch him. The strain, making every effort to get there. It was only worth $800,000 yesterday, that race. By the way, this horse was bought for $500,000. Last night, he was worth $75 million. Just a little bit of investment, right? That's the word fervent here. That's what he's talking about. Is your love earnest? Is it fervent? Is your love seen both in application and in action all the time? So the priority of love above all things, the possession of love, have the passion of love, fervent love, the people of love. He says, among yourselves. Now, we could go to other passages of Scripture this morning and see where God, in various authors, have told us that we're to love our enemies, we're to love those who persecute us, all those kind of things. But primary interpretation of this text is he's talking about believers. In other words, he's saying we're to love among ourselves. Yes, there are other passages that say you're to love your enemies and you're to love those that persecute you and so forth and so on. But he's primarily addressing us to love each other. Pretty powerful. Among yourselves. When we look at Scripture, we see many things, but three that I want to highlight here about love. Number one, I want us to see the sacrifice. In other words, do you sacrifice for others? John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, so ye love one another. Was his love a sacrificial love? Wow. As I've loved you. That's the way I want to communicate my love to them. Now let me just stop here for a second and make a little tiny rabbit trail. Okay, I'm going to hurry here. I want to get you out of here early. But I didn't tell you that because I didn't want you to get excited. But can I tell you that when Jesus approached someone many times, he didn't choose not to tell them truth. In other words, he didn't come up and go, I just want to love you, and I'm not going to tell you the truth. No. But I want to tell you, there were many times as well, particularly to those who most people would consider, quote unquote, the sinner, Jesus first approached them with love, and then he spoke the truth to them. For instance, the woman taken in adultery. The woman at the well. It wasn't that what they were doing was wrong and Jesus was just going to sugarcoat it. No. He was going to tell them the truth. Do you know who he was most harsh with? The religious people who thought they had everything in a row. They dotted all their T's and crossed their I's. Dotted their I's and crossed their T's. I need to quit, right? Do you sacrifice for others? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man get his way. Greater love hath no man than this, that he win the argument. Greater love hath no man than this, that he get to state his opinion. That's not what he says. That a man lay down his life for his friends. The sacrifice of love. But number two, the service of love. Do you serve others? This is, have fervent charity among yourselves. Colossians 3 and verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Galatians 5 and verse 13, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and following, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Do you see how the Word of God talks about this? James 2 and verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 1 John 3 and verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Do you get the picture that if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are not disobeying one Bible verse. That would be bad enough. You're disobeying a host of them. But the third thing I think we can see in Scripture about love is not only is love to sacrifice, not only is love to serve, but love is a sign or a signage. I know I'm making alliteration, but it's not a stretch. I want you to get this here. Does your life broadcast like a sign your love for God and others? Do you know what? Look at what the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life. How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Hello? Did you get that? Do you know what he's saying in this text of Scripture? If you can't love other people who love Christ, you're not saved. That's what he's saying. You're abiding death. How can you say that you love God whom you've not seen? If you can't love your brother who you have seen. Like, well, that's because I disagree with my brother. You don't ever disagree with God? I didn't say it was good for you to disagree with God. I'm just asking if you ever have. He never asked you to do anything you didn't like? He never made a decision that you didn't like? Or that you didn't understand? You know, sometimes our excuses are that, just excuses. Well, we don't want to obey. I'm going to have some of this water. It's not contaminated, by the way. At least I hope not, right? Exactly. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. In other words, Jesus said, if you want to put up a big old sign that says you love me, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Love each other. Love each other. Pretty amazing, isn't it? The people of love. But fifth, we see the protection of love. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. One author said, love conceals and passes over faults in silence. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. James chapter 5 and verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's what love does. That's what love does. Can I ask you a very thought-provoking question? Because this is the one the Holy Spirit said, hey, pal, you need to look at that. Does your love see what is wrong with someone before it sees what's right with them? Does your love see what's wrong with someone before it sees what's right with someone? See, when Jesus walked up to the woman at the well, he didn't primarily see an adulterous woman who was a Samaritan, who didn't deserve anybody to talk to. He saw a lady who needed him. Matter of fact, he was so consumed with that he didn't even want to eat. It's interesting. Naomi gave me a book a couple weeks ago. I read it this week. It is fantastic. But he talks about how the disciples went into the same city where the lady is going. This is where she lived. They went to buy bread because what they were concerned about is getting the groceries done. She went to the same city and said, you got to come see Jesus. By the way, they knew Jesus. They had known him for years now. She had known him for minutes. And it's interesting, in the context of that passage, it is in that passage that Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look on the hills, for they are white, or look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. This author brought out, he said, I don't think Jesus was talking in generic. I think he was pointing to the massive crowd that was coming out of Sychar, ready to see Jesus. He said, hey, stop looking at your lunch. Look what's coming. That's the harvest. That's what I'm more concerned about. Do you see people for what's wrong with them or for what's right with them? Now, by the way, Jesus did confront her, didn't he? He got to her sin. But he wanted to quench her thirst because he knew ultimately that's what would deal with her sin. How quick are you to pass over a matter? By the way, that probably tells you how much you love that person. The more love you have for a person, the quicker you're willing to pass over that matter. Because you know you love them. And you get to the point of saying, you know what, this is really trivial. Do you really love each other?
What did you do this week that would prove you loved others? That would prove you loved others. A little 4-year-old African girl had been sold as a slave. She had never known what love was. Even her name, Kyodi, meant nobody loves me. When she grew to be about 10 years old, her body became covered with ugly sores. The natives turned her out and would have nothing to do with her. But some missionaries took Kyodi in and cleaned her up and cared for her and put clothes on her. At first, she could not believe anyone would love her, but she went about saying, "I am Kyodi. Nobody loves me." The missionary told her that Jesus loved her and tried to teach her what love meant. Then she looked down at her dress and her clean body and her bandaged sores, and she said, "Is this love? Is this love?" This week, kids are going to pour in these doors. They might spill some Kool-Aid that we have to clean up. They might take their little sticky hands and run them down the hallways. They might even lock a bathroom stall and climb out from underneath it. But can I tell you that this is what love is? This is what love is. Because the day we get too big and too fancy to use our building for children to come in and dirty up, we've missed the boat. We've missed it. So yeah, the buildings are going to get clean this week. Absolutely. Yeah, there's probably going to be fingerprints in places that they weren't before. Yes, there might be some broken chairs. Yes, there's going to be a lot of work. But this is what love is. Look around you. Literally. Look around you. Everybody, look around you. Who do you see in here? Behind you. Do you have fervent charity among yourselves? Can we love each other? Because that's what God tells us to do. Simple verse. Sure. Powerful in its application for us. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit's conviction in my own heart in an area that I needed just to be reminded about some things. Lord, I'm quite sure that all of us need to be reminded of some things in this text alone. The fact is, Lord, we're pretty selfish people. And we don't love for the sake of loving others. If we love many times as a selfish thing. This week is just one application of this text, that we can love these boys and girls who come in these doors, the moms and dads who come in these doors. But in the text, we're talking about the people who are sitting in this room. Can we love each other? We're supposed to. Can we love those who genuinely know Christ? We're supposed to. May you draw our hearts to these truths over and over and over again. And we'll thank you.